I don't know if you guys
I guess
it
if we keep doing these memes things, we can just we will never run out of episode ideas.
Well, unless there aren't any good ones. I sent you over another stupid one, but it's the same exact concept. It says one's got to go and all of their movies. And it's just Seth Rogen, Adam Sandler, Jim Carrey, and Will Ferrell. And for that, like, I instantly look at that, and I know, I assume that you guys would probably agree with me. I don't know, but I look at that, and I instantly am like, well, Jim Carrey's safe. But,
yeah.
Yeah, and Adam Sandler. I mean, you're not going to take Punch Drunk Love out of my life.
That's true. Yeah, Adam Sandler has a double whammy. I mean, both
I still haven't actually seen Uncut Gems.
Oh, it's good. It's like some of the dramatic stuff that he's been doing is really top notch.
I liked Spanglish, even though a lot of people didn't.
I just saw Hustle, the basketball movie.
Oh, was that good? I heard it was good.
It was not bad. It was not great, but it was not bad. It was enjoyable. Well,
remember, if you lose Seth Rogen, you basically lose all of Judd Apatow's entire career.
Yeah, I mean, to me personally, I do have to go with Ferrell because he's very funny. He's been in some iconic sketches on SNL, it's almost like the Eddie Murphy thing. If the SNL mattered, then maybe he would have more consideration. But I feel like his movies have mostly been a lot of fluff. There's a lot of fluff there. There's a couple of good ones. But
he's got a couple great ones. This, just to be clear, this meme, in case anyone's not looking at the picture, this meme does specify movies. So that would not include any of Adam Sandler's music, any of his SNL sketches, or any of Will Ferrell's SNL sketches, which are, as we know, there's a lot of them. They went on for many, many years, and they were some of the greatest ones they ever did. So it's like, I feel like that makes it very easy. If you're, even though I love The Other Guys and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and a bunch of the movies that Will Ferrell's been in, I mean, I love Anchorman, you know, I mean, he's got some great movies. But if I had to pick, if I could keep everything he's done outside of movies and keep the other three, that'd be the easiest choice for me.
Okay. Can I add on, like, okay, he goes and all of his movies, but on top of that, I get to wipe his entire cultural influence off the face of the earth.
Wow. Tell us how you really feel, Matt.
Because if I can do that, it's Seth Rogen. Like, hands down.
Oh my god.
Because that guy has become a complete hypocritical dick over the last few years.
Oh, okay. I see.
So if I can that.
Well, what was the specifics there? I'm trying to remember. I mean, I know he's definitely gone like in odd directions lately, but
he's like one of the Sarah Silvermans and, you know, all these comedians who made careers out of being offensive and like holding no bars, you know, just balls to the wall. Fuck you if you're offended. And then the second he makes his bajillions of dollars, his generational wealth, he's set for his life, his kid's life, and his, you know, kid's life. That's when he comes back and says, oh, you know what? All of these jokes that I made, they're really not acceptable anymore. So all of you up and coming comedians, you really got to watch what you say. Fuck you. Fuck you.
It's seriously a legitimate point for sure. But,
you piece of shit.
But don't take it personally, though.
That's funny.
Yeah, but I heard this interview. I think it was like an NPR, like on with Terry Gross. She interviewed Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
And I don't know after which, maybe the movie that he directed, like the 90s something or.
Oh yeah, I saw some of that.
Yeah. So she interviewed him about the movie that he directed at the time, and she's asked him. She started asking about Superbad, and some of the lines from the movie. I think they might have even played some clips, and she sort of like. Essentially, it's when all the wokeness thing became very big a few years ago. And she said, do you think that that was appropriate, those jokes? And she wasn't trying to, like, get him or anything. He just wants to get his opinion on, like, his earlier work. And he was just – he was definitely in PR mode. He was like, yeah, it's crazy. There's no way we could do that today. That was – you know, and I didn't write that. Like, I, you know, and they started making excuses for, like, the vulgarity of Superbad and all this stuff. And it's like, come on, dude. You thought it was funny. You were making a funny movie. And you can say things like, well, at the time, you know, you don't have perspective. You say things that seem funny. And you don't take into consideration that somebody might be offended. That 5-10 years from now, it would be, you know... that would be frowned upon. It's very tough, but at the same time, we are trying to entertain people, and a comedy is about pushing limits. No, instead of that, he just wimped out and it was like, I'm promoting a movie. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to say nice things. And I'm, and it's just a bit like,
I'm not a comedy writer or anything like that. I'm never going to be in that position, but you know, God, I wish, like, if there's an alternate universe where I am and I were asked that question, it's like, less than 20 years after Superbad, you remade it and called it Booksmart and just gender swapped everything and took out all the offensive jokes, and it's a piece of shit. And that nobody will remember.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 97% on Rotten Tomatoes because it was woke bullshit and it wasn't offensive and it was safe, and they just gender swapped the characters and just took out all the edginess, took out all the fun. Like, I mean, this is the death of comedy, and the people who, I mean, it's like that the snake eating its own tail.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, the head of the snake is populated by a bunch of wusses like Seth Rogen, like Sarah Silverman, like Chelsea Handler, like Jonah Hill, who have already made their money. They've done it by doing the same thing that all the up-and-comers are trying to do, and they're trying to, they're at the tail end, and the head is trying to eat the tail.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and, well, at the same time, well, finish your thought.
Oh, I just hope that they find themselves eating shit.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that was not worth that.
I like the way that you wrapped that up there.
Yeah,
that's a good analogy in that spot.
But Manar, I hate Manar. So I was gonna say, I think I saw something with Tom Wilson where he said, you know, he sang that song that he always sings about Back to the Future, and it's and I guess he keeps adding verses to it, or like depending on the time. Yeah, or at least he does different things each time. But in this iteration of it, I saw like a Facebook video. He said something about like something about the manure, like how like it was not tasty, like it was not actual poop, but it was pretty bad or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but like he made a comment about it in the song. In any case, I was gonna say about it is interesting because I just saw the new Jim Jefferies special on Netflix. Yeah. And whether it's Jim Jefferies, obviously Dave Chappelle, some of these big comedians, you know, Aziz Ansari too, like his recent special, not recent, but from a year or two ago. There's definitely this one side of comedians that are really like just specifically explore offensive things in their specials in the last couple of years because of what's been happening with all this censorship and self-censorship and comedians turning very bland. And I think that's admirable. It becomes a bit stupid because it feels like they're doing it just because. But it's almost like a public service announcement or a public service, not an announcement, but just it's a public service that they're essentially saying we have to say these things in order to make it to keep it being okay. Because like you said, it's the death of comedy. And if everybody self-censors and nobody's allowed to say it, like, and if you're a big comedian and you've made your money, you have good money, you have what they call fuck you money, then it's almost it's a public service. Yeah, like it's your duty to keep saying offensive things in order to allow for the up and coming comedians to feel comfortable saying that. You know?
I mean, at the very least, once you have fuck you money, it's your duty to not say fuck you to the up and comers.
Exactly. You should help them.
Yeah, just keep your fucking mouth shut. Just, you know, like somebody asks you, like, "Oh, is this okay?" And like, let's move on.
Yeah,
but is this okay? Yeah, let's move on. You know, just find some kind of response. I mean, like, you're not dumb people. You know?
I mean, before all this stuff
maybe Seth
started,
Rogen is, but.
Before this all started, like, I don't think Dave Chappelle was talking about trans, you know, people and stuff like that. He basically, all these people veered into these subjects because they became some sort of taboo.
That's precisely the point. Yeah.
Because the point is that there is no taboo. Like, you should really, as long as it's funny and it's, you know, respectable, like with some taste, you don't want to be completely tasteless. It's anything should be, you know, on the table. Oh. Nothing should be off the table.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I think I was about to say the same thing you were. So go ahead.
Well, I was about to say all good comedy takes you to a place that you didn't want to go, and makes you happy that you went there.
Yeah.
And
that's not actually what I was going to say, but yeah.
what were you going to say?
I don't remember. What did you say? Something about anything. I don't remember. Whatever.
Anything should be on the table.
Taboo or something like that. I was going to say that, like, nothing should be off limits. And oh, you said something about Gil. You said about it, something being done. Would you say tastefully or something like that? I think.
Oh, yeah. That it shouldn't be tasteless completely.
And I guess all I was going to say is, the reason everything needs to be okay, like as in a subject matter, that is, there should be no subject matter that's untouchable. You know, there shouldn't be anything like that, because one person handling a joke about a certain subject matter will be tasteless and therefore not funny. In the hands of a better comedian, you could take the same material and handle it better, and it could be one of the funniest things you've ever heard. So, and then also, you know, a certain person might have gone through a certain thing in their life, and they might not find one of the funniest jokes in the world to be in good humor. So what are you going to do? You're going to deprive the rest of the world of it because you personally found something, you know, offensive about something? No, you avoid that kind of humor because you feel differently than the rest of the world. You know, that's on you, you know, but, you know, it's just, it's a complicated thing, but the bottom line that everyone needs to remember is that there isn't any one subject that you can't joke about. There isn't anything that is like there's a phrase they use, like the holy something rather, you know, the untouchable subject, you know, whatever. But yeah. That's all I was trying to say.
It just kind of popped into my head, like this girl that I was dating for a little bit, I was walking her back to her car, and she was actually kind of going through this whole rant about how, you know, there are certain things that you can't joke about. And I just, she specifically brought up the Holocaust, and I finally get her to her car, and I let her finish talking, and I finally whipped out that Jimmy Carr joke, you know.
Oh no.
You know, say what you will about the Nazis, but they did manage to conduct a lot of medical research without hurting any animals. And she just fell to the pavement laughing.
Oh, see? See? Even with your don't take this the wrong way, Matt, but even with your, you know, comedic timing that I'm sure is not as good as Jimmy Carr, you know, see, it's still like that awesome material still works.
But the funny thing is, like, you know, you can even take this further with, like, okay, you take those exact same words, Jimmy Carr with his really cute British accent and his, you know,
his absurd laugh.
Yeah. And everything, like, he says that and it's funny. Deborah Newkirk or anybody from PETA says that, and you know, you could actually seriously imagine a PETA member saying, like, you know, say what you will about the Nazis, they did manage to conduct a lot of medical research without hurting any animals.
Well, and if anybody ever said that seriously to me, that would be, I would want to distance myself from that person as much as possible, because that's pretty gross. Yeah,
exactly. But it's all context. It's all in delivery. Yeah, it's exactly. It's all in the intent of the person. And yeah, you know, somebody from PETA says you're an awful person.
I know, Matt. I know I've reiterated this joke to you several times. I don't know if I ever said it in front of Gil, but I know you and I always talked about these people who say, like, there's this joke material, you can't ever make jokes about this, but this is a holy subject, you can't make jokes about this or that or whatever. And like you said, the Holocaust is obviously one of them, and then the other one is like, you can't make jokes about 9/11, you know. And you and I always started talking about the best jokes that anybody ever said about 9/11, and I think Louis C.K. has like one of the greatest jokes of all time about 9/11, because he says that, like, I don't want to mess this up, but he says, like, you can tell a lot about a person, you can tell a lot about a person by how long they waited after 9/11 before they decided to masturbate. Like, was it days? Was it weeks? Like, how long did you wait? And he goes, for me personally, it was between the towers. And I was just like, damn, that is dark.
If she hadn't laughed at the first joke, you could have always said the second one, they say there is safety in numbers. Well, tell that to 6 million Jews.
Oh, God. That's dark, too.
Although my favorite offensive joke of his has to be the one with the mosquito nets.
Oh, yeah. No. That's like his best joke ever, Jimmy Carr. Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
No, but that is interesting. I mean, I will say to the Seth Rogen comments that Matt made, I also think that he's the least funny of the four. If we're just talking about performance wise, think he's a better writer than, say, Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's necessary. I also think that he kind of stumbled onto some really funny movies. iconic funny movies, but he's not even necessarily the best part in it each time. He's serviceable, but he's not he's not Adam Sandler, Jim Carrey funny.
No. I think Superbad is incredible, and obviously he helped write. He was one of the two writers of that movie, and there's that. But as an actor, let me see here real quick. I would say his best stuff was. I hate when they put the producing stuff first. It's so stupid.
No, it's pretty much what he is now.
I know, but still, it's like, ugh. All right, here we go. The Fablemans was pretty good.
Geez, yeah, we'd have to lose the Fablemans.
Yeah.
I love that movie despite his presence.
He was good in it. He was one of my favorite things in that movie. Ooh, we would get to lose the live-action Lion King. That'd be nice. Sausage Party. I don't even think he's well cast in Kung Fu Panda, but I absolutely love Kung Fu Panda 1 and 2. I think they're both excellent movies. Steve Jobs,
yeah.
Yeah. Just trying to think of the really good ones here. Oh, 21 Jump Street was pretty good. That was funny. Was he only in the second one? Let me see. He was uncredited in the second one. I don't even think he was in the first one. Yeah, most of his movies. Let me see here. Oh, I really liked 50-50 and The Night Before. Both of those were pretty fun, but not things I couldn't live without, obviously. Yeah, it's mostly all the Judd Apatow stuff. Funny People. I forgot he was in Fanboys. That would be very, very difficult one to lose. But yeah. And Zach and Miri Make a Porno. That one's really fun too.
For years I had it on my watch list and I just never sat down and watched it.
Oh, really? It's the last good Kevin Smith movie that was made.
Also, I don't think I saw Fanboys.
Oh, no, you should watch Fanboys.
Oh, that's the one with Kristen Bell. Yes. Yeah, all right.
Oh, never mind. I rated it 5 out of 10, so I guess I did see it.
That's a low rating. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It's funny. I have no recollection of it. I mean, I have some. Like I
feel like we watched it at the house.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
Because I bought it as soon as it came out, so.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I forgot he was in Donnie Darko.
Was he?
Yeah, he's kind of one of the delinquents. Yeah, he's really young in it. He's one of the delinquents in high school.
Hmm.
Oh, that would suck. But yeah, I think his film career would be the easiest thing to lose.
Yeah.
No, well, like you said, maybe Will Ferrell. I don't know.
But yeah, definitely, okay. After my rant, I mean, if I can't cut his cultural influence out, yeah, Will Ferrell's gone.
Oh gosh, Matt. I don't even extremely disagree with what you're saying. It's just funny that you feel like so strongly about it. That's all.
I will say, even though as far as ranking them, the top spots, even though Punch Drunk is my favorite PTA movie, I might have to go with Jim Carrey over Adam Sandler. I mean, as far as if I had to pick only one.
It, as a top spot? Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if like to lose like Dumb and Dumber and Ace Ventura and...
Tragedy.
Yeah, that would be a life...
I'm sorry, Travesty.
Travesty. Yeah.
Stronger.
and not to mention he's got some serious movies in there too.
He does. Like, oh, yeah. Man.
Good ones. Eternal Sunshine is a big one, and
Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon, Truman Show, which were not as good as Eternal Sunshine, but very good still.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, I'm trying to think about like a world without Ace Ventura and The Mask, you know.
The Mask, I guess I was never a big fan of it. I guess I might need to rewatch it, but it's just in the shadow of Dumb and Dumber and Ace Ventura for me.
Oh, it is. It is. I just, you know, it's just a good one. But yeah. I mean, I mean, we would also, if we lost Jim Carrey, we would lose the Deadpool too. That would suck.
The what? Deadpool?
No, the Deadpool, the Dirty Harry movie.
Oh, I see. It's a Dirty Harry movie. I don't
like
think
I could be wrong. It's like the third one, maybe, or fourth one. I'm not really sure, to be honest. I have it. I just, it's been many years since I watched it. I can't remember if it's the third or fourth one.
Yeah, no, I remember he did something with Clint Eastwood. I'm not sure if it was a couple of movies.
He did at least that one that I know of.
Yeah.